Baseball is back.
He doesn't want a super spreader out there in the middle of the field.
The season is different. On the field, in the socially distant clubhouse, in the empty stands.
You guys wanted to do it. You've been wanting to do it for months.
There's a lot to talk
about.
Who
are you kidding? Don't give me all that bull crap.
And this is the place to do it. This is the Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass.
Brought to you by Big Y, Safety Insurance, Rodenheiser Home Services, Woodbridge Wines, Gravely, Budweiser, and Jackson Lumber.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ron, how much have you talked to Chaim just about kind of your status after this year and kind of how eager, if you haven't yet, how eager are you to kind of do that just to see where things stand for you?
Yeah, well, I haven't talked to him yet about it. So I know he's going to Atlanta. I'm sure we'll have a conversation somewhere before I leave. So I'm not sure where that'll take place.
Red Sox manager Ron Renicke last night, I believe that was Ian Brown of the MLB Network, or MLB.com, I should say, who asked the question to Ron Renicke, and it's a big one. It's a big one. And you know what? We haven't spent a lot of time on this year because I think, A, it's been a foregone conclusion, but B, we had so many other things to talk about in some ways. In some ways, we had nothing to talk about because the Red Sox were so bad. And so we focused on the players. We focused on the roster construction. But let me ask you this. Wherever you are driving to tonight, if you're in your car headed home, or if you're just listening on your laptop, you're listening on your phone, whatever you're doing. And before I even ask the question, Jimmy Stewart, our producer, let's open the phone lines, please. 617-779-0985. I have to believe at this stage there is zero chance that Ron Renicke is going to be back as manager of the Red Sox. I can't imagine the Red Sox are going to bring back Ron Renicke. I highly doubt it. So who do you want to be the manager of the team? And let me issue a caveat, because I've gotten mixed reaction from this and Red Sox fans. When you look at Alex Cora and the way he left, can the Red Sox bring him back? Do you think they can bring him back? Jimmy Stewart, do you think Alex Cora can come back and manage the Red Sox?
I do 100% think Alex Cora can come back and manage the Red Sox.
Okay, I do too. Some people think that it's with the way it ended here and the scandal involving the Astros and cheating, and Cora's involvement in it, and the Red Sox themselves being investigated for what went on in 2018, that there was no way they could possibly bring Cora back and keep a straight face with their fan base. I disagree. And I think there are a lot of people here who would like Cora back. I think ownership would like Cora back. I think there are players in that clubhouse that would like Cora back. Jimmy, any in particular who would really like Alex Cora back as manager that are players in that Red Sox clubhouse?
Xander Bogaerts?
Top of the list. Top of the list. And Bogaerts is an important guy in there now. So remember that in the case of Bogaerts, he is able to opt out of his contract after the third season. I believe this was year one of his six-year deal. So he's got next year and then the year after. And Xander Bogaerts can opt out. If Xander Bogaerts is unhappy at the end of 2022, particularly if he's gone through, let's call it a couple of years of unhappiness, and I can't imagine that this was a good one. So now we're talking 2 or 3 years of unhappiness and dissatisfaction. Why would he stay? Especially if the team sucks. So again, let me ask you, as a follower of the team, who do you want to manage the Red Sox? And again, here's the caveat. You can't pick Alex Cora. No Cora. Because a lot of us want Cora back. I think even the ownership of the team wants Cora back, as I said. Guys in the clubhouse want Cora back. The question is whether or not Chaim Bloom, as the chief baseball officer, wants Alex Cora back. But when we start talking about the composition of the Red Sox, and we all know the holes on the pitching staff, what the problems are, the manager's no small thing either, particularly for a team that had zero buzz factor this year. Zero. So you know why the manager's important for that? He's the one guy in the organization who speaks every day. He's the one guy guaranteed to be front and center every day. So you can say what you want, but the fact is that the impressions we have of that guy significantly impact the perception we have of the Red Sox. And it's a crappy reality, right? I mean, it really is. That you sit there and you say, well, you know what? I have to take into account the image of this guy, the media relationship with this guy, whether he's telegenic, quotable, affable, all of those things, because he is the number one ambassador for our franchise. And the Red Sox are at a point where they suck. They lost fans last year. They've lost more this year. We're in the midst of a pandemic, and the team's in the middle of a rebuild. So what are you going to do? Have another manager out there, or have a manager out there who has no likability, no charisma, no personality? And with all due respect to Ron Renneke, whom I love, I really do. He's a bench coach. Renneke's a bench coach. And he was hired to be Cora's on-field advisor, his tactical advisor, as a guy who has seen enough baseball and a lot of baseball to be able to whisper in Cora's ear, hey, watch out for this. Watch out for that. You might want to get this guy up ready now, who can think the game faster than Cora can. Because remember, Cora had no managerial experience when he came here. Not in the big leagues. He'd been a bench coach in Houston. And most bench coaches are one of two things. Either you have a veteran manager who needs a bench coach who can relate to the players, or you have a young manager who already relates to his players who needs a veteran bench coach to give him some sort of perspective and understanding as to what's going on in the game, who can think the game a little faster than the manager can. So Renneke was brought in to do that. He was not brought in to manage. And let's be honest, he got screwed. Renneke got screwed. If the Red Sox have any conscience whatsoever, and I don't expect them to do this, but it would be a really nice gesture if at the end of the year they gave Ron Renneke some kind of bonus. They did this with Grady Little once, you remember, when he got fired. Little had a bonus in his contract, and I'm not sure Grady even warranted it the way that Ron Renneke does. But they gave it to Grady Little. They should do the same for Ron Renneke and what he has put up with this year. He has had to go out and talk about that team every flipping day. Every flipping day. A guy who signed up to be the bench coach. His manager got fired because he was involved in a cheating scandal. The team tanked, basically. And then whatever pitching they did have got hurt or contracted COVID. And he had to get out there every day and answer all the bullcrap questions about this team. Ron Renneke did. So I look at it and say, just do the guy a solid. I wouldn't even bring him back as bench coach unless Cora's the manager. But again, I ask you as a fan, who do you want to manage this team next year?
Can I answer this question, Tony?
Sure. And by the way, when I ask fans the question, who do you want? You can't say Cora, because a lot of you do want Cora back. He's someone other than Cora, who do you want? Go ahead, Jimmy.
Sandy Alomar Jr., who is currently leading Terry Francona's Cleveland Indians to the playoffs. He stepped in because Tito had health issues, and he's got 23. I think he's like 23-18. He's been a bench coach. I think he can connect with a lot of different personalities. Francisco Lindor has talked highly about Sandy Alomar Jr., and I think he, at 54, he's in that right age bracket where he's got enough baseball knowledge. Between new school, old school, I think he would be a good fit for the Boston Red Sox as their manager.
Tell you what, Jimmy, I like that one. That's a good name. Sandy Alomar is a good name. He's been out there before. I like Sandy Alomar. So here's what we're going to do. I'm asking you, and I see a bunch of you lined up already. Some of you want to talk about Renneke. And I'm going to bring up this guy first. Typically, this kind of question, I would go longest order of wait. But I want to get this one out of the way, too, because I'd like to eliminate another name from the list. Dan in Northborough, go.
I knew that was going to be me, just based on the preface. So it warrants to think about, just throw it to Veritek. Give him 2 years to figure it out while the team's in the midst of a rebuild. You can slide Renneke back into the role that he's kind of supposed to be, the game manager, just like you were talking about.
Okay, and so Jason Veritek.
Everybody's looking about.
Jason Veritek is your answer, right?
Yes.
Okay, no. No, I don't want Veritek. And again, I like Veritek. I think he's a tremendous thinker of the game. I think he's great at it. I think Jason Veritek, to start, should be a bench coach, particularly in this instance, by the way, because I look at the mess the Red Sox are in. If Veritek has to sit out there and answer questions every night about the mess that the Red Sox are, he will lose his mind. Lose his mind. And I don't say this as a criticism. He wouldn't do well with the media because he's too much of a task-oriented. Hardworking guy, would be focused on winning games and wouldn't have time for the bullcrap that is the media. He just wouldn't have time for it. He wouldn't have the patience for it. Maybe I'm wrong. Tactically, Overtic can do it. I think he can communicate with players. But I'm also taking him off the table because I know that there are going to be a million of you jackasses out there who come up and shove Jason Varitek down my throat. And Varitek is not the right answer. He's not the right guy for this team at this time. Ian is in Milton. Go ahead, Ian.
Hey, Tony, how are we doing today?
Good. What do you got?
I just wanted to touch, base with you on Red Sox ownership. So when they bought the team in 2002, ownership was the most popular sport in town, and local fans were, I guess, weary of kind of this outside group taking over. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely.
In the meantime, they've won 4 World Series. Obviously, 1-04, which was a big thing, but they have turned out to be the most reviled ownership in town, eclipsing even the Bruins. And that, to me, is fascinating. And I just love to hear your thoughts on that.
Okay, so, Ian, look, again, I think some of it is there is a provincialism here that they've never overcome. So that's a part of it, but I would say that's a small part of it. The other thing is I think there's just been too much happy horse crap that's come out of there. And in addition to the 4 World Series, you've also had 4 last place finishes. So for whatever reason, and I can't speak to the PR of it, because, again, I've always been on the media side, and I just think from a public relations perspective, you're almost always better off telling the truth and just saying it matter-of-factly and honestly, and your fan base will accept it. These guys don't often do that.
Don't often. They never do. That's the number one reason for me. It's their duplicitous, devious nature. They can never own up to anything.
So, I'm going way back here, but when Theo left in 05, I remember John Henry saying, or was it 06, Jimmy? I guess it was 06. I don't remember. But I remember John Henry saying, when something like this happens, I have to look at myself and ask whether I'm fit to be the owner of the Red Sox. So I thought that was an honest answer. He got skewered for it because it was perceived as weakness. I thought it was honest.
Didn't they hush John Henry once for saying too much about the luxury tax recently?
Yeah, so I think over the years they've just learned to bullcrap their way through too many things, and they spin the happy horse crap. And Murray's right. There's a duplicitous aspect to it where you look at him and you say, that's just not honest. It's not honest. And this is not the kind of place where you can have sort of a fake answer and people are going to warm up to it. It's just not going to work that way, especially when they don't know you coming in. So, but the caller's point is right, which is to say that the ownership came in, a team that hadn't won a World Series since 1918. Not that you need me to remind you of that. They win 4 titles, and yet they don't have the love or the warmth that they should. I mean, look at Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick has won like crazy down in Foxborough. And fans love him. Love him, most of them. The Red Sox ownership doesn't get that, and it's not totally apples to apples. I mean, I understand I'm talking about an owner versus a coach. I get it. But it is an interesting question. Not necessarily the one I want to focus on today, but the caller brought it up. The one I want to focus on today, who's going to manage this team next year? Who do you want to manage this team next year? I have some names. And I also want to talk to John Tomasi of NBC Sports, get his assessment of it, see whether or not the Alex Cora thing is even remotely a real choice, a real option. Because a lot of people do think that Cora could come back here. The question is, does Chaim Bloom want Alex Cora? Because I think ownership would take him back. I think the fans would take him back. I'm not sure Bloom wants him. And if Bloom doesn't want him, should ownership force Cora on Bloom? How do you feel about that? Because that one, I think I'm okay with that, and I'll tell you why when we come back. So Tomasi, Red Sox managerial candidates, and would Alex Cora and Chaim Bloom work together even if Bloom didn't get to pick? We'll examine all of that tonight on the Baseball Reporters.
This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show. The Baseball Reporters on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
everything baseball.
So if you're a Red Sox fan, here's what you think.
It's the Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
So again, here's the question of the night. Who do you want to be the next manager of the Red Sox? And there are certain restrictions with your answers. I've already said this. You can't say Alex Cora because we all want Cora back. And you cannot say Jason Varitek because I've heard that one a million times. And honestly, I just don't think it's a realistic option at this stage. Now, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Chaim Bloom certainly coming from Tampa Bay, where Kevin Cash, former catcher, is a manager and a good one. Might look at it and say, well, Kevin Cash worked out all right. Why wouldn't Varitek be good? And I would tell you, Varitek can handle the game the way Kevin Cash does. Well, I have no doubt about that. I just think managing in Tampa, where all of two people watch the games, and managing a team in Boston, where in theory, interest is greater, although this year has been a big zero, I just think that that part of the job for Varitek would be a lot to ask. And I'm not saying he can't change, but I just think that he's pretty no-nonsense. And that job's entirely nonsense. So that's what I want to ask to all of you. What would you do at manager? Give me some names. I want creative names. Jimmy Stewart came up with a good one. Sandy Alomar, the Cleveland Indians. Bring him in. I like that idea. I like Sandy Alomar as a candidate. I want some suggestions, too, from John Tomasi of NBC Sports Boston, who joins us now on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. So there's no chance that Renicki's the manager next year, John, is it? Is there?
I would put the odds of that very low. I guess the only way that you could sell it to me is if you know that 2021 is such a lost cause that you just say, you know what, we'll have the caretaker for one more year, and then we'll bring in our guy who is going to build this thing together with Chaim Bloom. I don't think they're going to go that way, but I can't completely dismiss it as an option.
Okay, I just don't think they're going to be willing to do that because of the message it would send to the fan base, John. That I think, rightly or wrongly, people now equate Renicki as just a fill-in guy who was here to get through the year, and if they bring him back, I think people would really be annoyed with that. And I do think the Red Sox have public relations concerns here. So I'm going to give you a little bit of a waiver because, I think it's an easy out to say, well, they're going to bring Cora back or I'd want Cora back, and then the discussion ends. So do you think there is any chance they would bring Cora back? Let me start by asking you that.
Yeah, I think there's a great chance of that, but I think there's a massive, massive impediment to that, and that is Chaim Bloom, and not enough attention is being paid to that. Alex Cora made Chaim Bloom's life miserable. He made his job miserable. It was bad enough coming into the situation that he did, knowing that he needed to trade Mookie Betts, knowing that he wasn't going to be able to spend a lot of money this offseason. And then on top of that, he has to find a new manager because the manager that he thought he had, whose shenanigans helped beat the Rays a couple of years earlier with the Astros, and then with the Red Sox, you can make the same argument, you know, Tampa being a 90-win team. And so that guy, you're just supposed to welcome him back. If Chaim Bloom truly has autonomy, I don't know that Alex Cora is his choice. I think there are plenty of people in management, plenty of people in ownership who would be thrilled to have Alex Cora back. I'm not convinced that Chaim Bloom's one of them.
Okay, so do you sense at all, John, that Bloom doesn't like Cora? Does he not respect him? Is there any relationship there at all?
Well, first of all, there's not a lot of a relationship because you take the time that from when he got hired to when Cora got let go, you're talking a matter of weeks. And so I don't think there's a huge relationship there. I haven't gotten the sense that, you know, Chaim Bloom hates Alex Cora or anything like that, but he has been very firm any time that he's been asked this, and granted it hasn't been in a while, but in spring training when these questions came up, Alex needs to do some rehabilitating, you know, of his image around the game, and I think he really meant that. I don't think those were just words. So, yeah, I do sense a little bit of an edge when it comes to the way he talks about Cora.
Okay, now, as it pertains to Cora's opinion of Bloom, wasn't Cora happy when they hired Chaim Bloom? In other words, it's not an issue for Cora, is it? He would work for Bloom in a second, wouldn't he?
Yeah, and I don't think, yeah, and he's also not in a position to be deciding if that's, you know, agreeable to him. If he wants to come back to the Red Sox, that's the deal. I do think that, you know, Cora felt like Dombrowski got a little bit of a bad rap. There was a better relationship there with Dombrowski than I think people give credit for, but I don't think, you know, Bloom's an impediment to Cora returning from Cora's perspective. He is from Bloom's perspective.
So, John, I ask you that because my understanding at the time was when the Red Sox hired Bloom, Cora said, oh, good, this is our guy. This is the guy we wanted. We wanted him from the beginning. And, you know, obviously, analytics-driven organization. Cora, very open to analytics. So I thought Cora was happy that Chaim Bloom ended up as effectively the GM.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there was a part of him that felt like Dombrowski got a raw deal. Dombrowski's the guy who brought him in, who hired him, who built that World Series winning team around him. So I don't know that I'd go so far to say it's like, you know, Cora was doing cartwheels for Chaim Bloom. I think there was some loyalty to the previous guy as well.
Okay, so if it's not Cora, if Chaim Bloom doesn't want Alex Cora to come back and manage the Red Sox, who are the guys out there? Who are some of the people out there that might be an attractive candidate to bring in here and why?
Yep. All right. So first of all, I want to make very clear, I have no idea right now. And anyone who says they do is lying. So we don't know where they're going to go with this, but I will give you some names nonetheless with that caveat. So the first one that sort of jumps out to me is George Lombard, the Dodgers first base coach. He has a lot of experience in the Red Sox organization as a coach, as an instructor. He worked in player development. He's in a winning organization right now. He's worked for big market teams, granted never in that fully forward-facing role, but I think that's an intriguing guy. He's smart. He knows a lot of people at the Red Sox. They like him, so that would be one. I think another guy that comes to mind when you ask people, who are some of the former players who are comfortable with analytics, and a name that you hear is Josh Paul, the former White Sox catcher. He's got experience as a bench coach with the Angels. He was a minor league instructor with the Yankees. I think he's a quality control coach with the Tigers right now. He's a Vanderbilt guy. So if you're looking for somebody who can maybe marry the playing experience with the analytics, he's a name. And then the last one I'll say, because his name comes up every year and he's had interviews and it hasn't quite happened for him yet, is Hensley Meulens, Bam Bam, Mets bench coach, coached the Netherlands in the World Baseball Classic, has a lot of experience throughout the minors. He speaks a million different languages. There's a lot of people who feel like, from the relatability standpoint, he would be a great manager. So I think he's 53 now, so his window might be closing, so maybe this would be his opportunity. I gave you three names. I hope that's good enough.
Okay, so look, what I would ask you quickly, you know, the personalities of those three guys, as best you know, are they suited to handle the Boston market and will they project well to the fan base? And I know that that sounds like a stupid question, John, but you know as well as I that nobody is more important for the image of the Red Sox than the manager. He's the only guy that talks every day.
Oh, yeah. No, I think that's hugely important, and it makes us in the media sound self-important when we say it, but it is reality. Like, you know, I think one of John Farrell's problems ultimately in Boston was just that he didn't quite, you know, command the stage when he was talking. He sounded a little robotic.
He didn't relate.
Tito was great at that. Cora was great at that. So of the three names I mentioned, I have no idea about Josh Paul. I won't even pretend. George Lombard, I've dealt with a fair amount, you know, over the years as a minor league guy. I would say yes, he's personable. And Meulens, that's supposed to be his big thing, his personality. So I think from that perspective, one of those two guys could conceivably work.
Okay, so now I'll tell you what. Let me throw a name or two. Let me throw three names at you, and you tell me whether or not any of these is viable. I'm actually going to throw four at you. How about that?
Okay.
Jimmy Stewart, our producer, mentioned Sandy Alomar Jr. a minute ago. He's been filling in with the Indians. His name has come up many times over the years, and he's run the Indians since Francona has been out. Buck Showalter, who's out there, longtime manager, everybody knows. Mark Loretta, former Red Sox player, who is, I think he's a bench coach of the Cubs now, correct?
Yep.
And Eduardo Perez, who also got some attention last year when the Red Sox were, when there were a number of managerial openings at the time. Any one of those guys interest you?
Give me the first one more time. Oh, Sandy Alomar. So Sandy Alomar, I honestly wonder, could he be stepping in for Tito? There's been a lot of health issues with Francona this year. And you look, Brad Mills took the year off. Alomar has started filling out that Indian staff with some of his guys. It wouldn't shock me at all if he ends up being the Indians manager, so I don't know how likely he is. Showalter, I'm a big no on. I just feel like that is not the kind of messenger you want right now. And time has passed him by a little bit. He's very old school. Does he strike you as a new school fit for Heim Bloom? I say no.
No.
Loretta's an interesting. Yeah, Loretta's an interesting one to me. You have the history with what Bloom did in Tampa, where he hired the player with no managerial experience and cash. It worked out great. Loretta was known as a very smart player the year that he was here in Boston. I could see that. Eduardo Perez, he spent, if I'm not mistaken, a fair amount of time in Tampa doing TV stuff. And so he's probably been around Heim Bloom a lot. I think of him more as a TV guy, right? I don't know. So I guess of those names that you mentioned, I would say Loretta would be the most intriguing to me.
All right, John, we're going to let you go. Thank you for the time.
You got it, anytime. And can I just say before I go, God bless you for doing this every single night for the last 2 months. It is a credit to your professionalism.
Well, I don't know about that, John, but thank you. Appreciate that. A lot of people, you know, years ago, people might have thought I was professional. I'm not so sure anymore. Radio tends to bring you down, back down, and put you under the dirt. And put you down there with the worms and all the little nasty things that live in the soil. That's what radio does to you. But I appreciate that. Jim Murray's got your headlines. When we come back, we'll examine some of those names. I want to throw maybe one or two others at you as well. And we'll touch on something that Ron Renicki said prior to tonight's game between the Red Sox and the Baltimore Orioles. Here's Murray with your headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show. The Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Who is going to manage the Red Sox next? No way it's Ron Renicki, right? No way. Can't be. And I don't mean that as any sort of indictment on Ron Renicki, who's been dealt the worst hand in the history of Major League Baseball, if you ask me. Seriously, has there ever been a guy put into a worse spot than Ron Renicki has been put into this year? Ever? Think of that. They hired him to be a bench coach. Senior guy, been around baseball a long time. They hired him to be Alex Cora's bench coach. So the guy you're advising cheated and got suspended. He cheated and got fired. That was it. Not suspended, fired. Gone. So now you have to take the team over. Then they trade away the best player because they can't sign him. And on top of it, the ace of the staff has elbow surgery. The second guy on the staff gets COVID and can't pitch in the middle of a pandemic in a shortened season, no less. And then they give you a collection of bums to line up behind the other pitchers on the rotation. Then how about this? Your team is so bad, you are in contention for the number one pick in the draft. And the commissioner then announces that there won't be any major, well, I shouldn't say he announces. There is a report that the commissioner in all likelihood will adhere to the same draft standards or protocols that have been in place for a long time, which is the teams with the worst records pick the highest. So now you're looking at the number two or three pick, and you know what happens? You start winning. How about that? They went again last night. Isn't that brutal? Oh, my God. They're going to screw up the draft pick on top of it. Good God. And so for his efforts, you know what Ron Renicki will get? A pink slip. See you later. I don't know. Maybe they bring him back as bench coach. Who the hell knows? Talk about a guy put into an impossible spot. He should get some kind of bonus at year's end. Hazard pay, something. Not to mention the fact that with all the COVID flying around, you're talking about an older guy who's got to be out there in uniform every day. Oh, I hope they took care of this guy. I do. I hope they took care of him. I feel for Ron Renicki. What a horrible, horrible position to be put in. But he'll be gone. And then the Red Sox will have to hire a manager again. And I told you, two names I'm taking off the list, Alex Cora and Jason Varitek. The first one, because he's obvious. And yes, there's a chance he comes back and manages. The second one, because everybody has been saying that Jason Varitek should be the next manager of the Red Sox for 10 years, maybe longer. I don't remember Varitek's final year in the big leagues, but ever since, everyone said he should manage the team. So let's take him out. John Tomasi in the last segment gave us a few names. George Lombard, who's with the Dodgers. Josh Paul, who's with the White Sox, and I don't really know. Hensley Mullins. I threw a couple at him. Mark Loretta, Buck Showalter, Eduardo Perez. And let me throw another one at you. And I think there's zero chance of it happening. What about Pedro Martinez? Jimmy Stewart, do you think Pedro could manage the Red Sox?
I do. I don't think he wants to.
Jim Murray?
Sure. But again, like Jimmy said, I don't know why the hell he'd want to do that.
I don't think he would either. But I'll tell you, if you're looking to get your fan base engaged, Pedro's personality would do it. I just don't think he would last. He would hate the job after like 2 weeks. He would hate it. So I just throw that out there as, because I do think there's a PR element to this hire. And I think the Red Sox need somebody out there that their fan base can connect with, that their fan base likes, and that can help bring fans back. And I'm not saying that the manager is going to draw people to the ballpark or to the TV, but can improve the image of the team, because right now it sucks.
How about Mike Lowell?
So Mike Lowell is another good one, Jimmy Stewart. Mike Lowell is a good one. And again, these don't have to be guys who have managerial experience, because as we learned, Aaron Boone jumped right in, Rocco Baldelli jumped right in, Kevin Cash, David Ross. The list goes on and on of guys who just come from playing right into the manager's seat. That's a good one, Jimmy. Did you come up with that on your own?
I did.
Good one. Mike Lowell. I like
my phone didn't ring on that one.
And I'll tell you another thing I like about Lowell is bilingual. So Lowell's of Cuban descent. I think he was born in now that I think of it, I think he was born in Cuba, but raised in Southern Florida. And, or maybe, regardless, his father is Cuban. And I think that, or maybe it was his mom who's Cuban. Whatever. You get the idea.
It's a good idea by me. That's your point.
Right.
He's bilingual, and that matters in this day and age. Matt's in a truck. Matt, what do you got?
What about a guy who played for the Red Sox? How about Gabe Kapler?
Okay, so Kapler's the manager of the Giants right now, Matt. Is he the guy you want?
I think he did all right when he was with Philly. I mean, he did all right over there. He didn't do great, but I think he did all right.
Okay, so I let you go. I didn't mean to hit that quickly, but
2 years, 500 manager in Philly.
Yeah, and I would tell you that the people in Philly might tell you that it was a disaster.
He couldn't figure out the bullpen game one.
So here's what would concern me about.
I like Kapler.
I love Kapler. I think he's a tremendous guy. In fact, I think he's such a good guy, he shouldn't be working in baseball. That's what I think. Kapler to me is a bad fit for places like Philadelphia and Boston, where people are psychotic about sports. And again, that's a compliment to you as a fan base here. But he's just way too smart, way too philosophical, way too well-adjusted for you to like him. You will get so sick of Gabe Kapler by the end of it. In fact, it won't take long at all. Because Gabe Kapler is intelligent. He's philosophical. He's thoughtful. He understands that human beings have flaws. He is a terrific human being. As manager of the Red Sox, you will have a hard time connecting with him because he's way smarter than you are, or I am, for that matter. Way smarter. And I just think it would be a bad fit. I think the world of Kapler. But I just think manager of the Red Sox, at least at a time like this, would be a bad fit. Eric is in Wellesley. Go ahead, Eric.
Hey, Tony. Talking about Renicky, I've listened to him post-game, really the whole season. I haven't been watching, but I've been listening to Renicky. And I just think he is a tremendous baseball mind. He is one of those people that is not into launch angle on two strikes. He really preaches, you know, putting the ball in play. And I think a big thing, you know, next year when you're gathering all these people together, he's a steadying force. He's been there. He knows a lot of these guys. It would not be chaotic. And I just think it would be a great move to keep him. guy knows baseball. He's an old-time baseball guy.
Eric, don't you think that, that in theory, and I'm just playing devil's advocate here, okay, but don't you think that they could keep a lot of that by or preserve a lot of that by keeping him as bench coach?
I mean, if they keep him as bench coach and they bring in, you know, but all the names I'm hearing, it just doesn't do anything to me. You know, Pedro or Mike Lowell, or you need someone who understands the nuance of managing this group of people.
Okay, and I will tell you that you're underselling some of those other guys. You're underselling a lot of those other guys. Mark Loretta, who played here, well, Mark Loretta would be interesting to me. I think highly of Loretta. I like Loretta a lot. My one concern with Loretta is similar to what I would say about Kapler. He's really smart, and it might not necessarily translate to the average Joe. Now, Loretta's a little bit more straightforward, blunt, pretty direct. Kind of, I don't want to say no nonsense. He's not quite as philosophical as Kapler is, I would say. Loretta, I think, went to Northwestern, if I remember right. And again, he played here for a really sharp guy. Loretta would be a good guy to get. I like Loretta. I also like some of the names that Jimmy Stewart threw out there, Sandy Alomar, Mike Lowell. And after seeing the Alex Cora experiment, and I say experiment, and the impact he had on Xander Bogaerts, on Eduardo Rodriguez, on Rafael Devers, I do like the idea of the Red Sox having a bilingual manager that can connect with some of those players. Because I think those guys are your nucleus now, and I think that's important. And so, now again, Mike Lowell, I remember when Lowell played, a lot of people didn't think of him as bilingual because he's very American. Cora, obviously a Puerto Rican native, was I don't want to say an immigrant, that's the wrong word, but of Hispanic descent. Not that Lowell isn't, but for whatever reason, people always thought of Lowell as being American. Maybe it's just because he didn't speak with an accent. Maybe that's all it was. But I like the idea of that kind of manager in that clubhouse, and I've always liked it because major league clubhouses are bilingual places. In fact, now they're more so. But historically, there can be a little bit of a rift sometimes in a major league clubhouse between guys from different cultures. Mike Lowell, when he was here as a player, was a tremendous bridge for that gap. Really valuable. David Ortiz became that over time. A guy that everybody on the team could go to and talk to. Cora was that. And so no matter which neighborhood you were coming from that you grew up in, there was a guy you could talk to and communicate with. And I thought that was really, really important. And in this day and age, again, I think it's a critical thing for a manager, particularly when your best players are Hispanic. So Bogaerts is a Reuben. I think Rafael Devers is Dominican. Eduardo Rodriguez is Venezuelan, Jimmy. Is that right? Christian Vasquez is Puerto Rican. I mean, there's a, you know, there are a lot of gaps to bridge there that I think a guy like Cora or Sandy Alomar, Eduardo Perez, I do lean that way. I do lean that way, although I love Mark Loretta, too. I think that's a great one.
This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show. The Baseball Reporters on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.